From our palatial penthouse studios on the outskirts of Atlanta, it's the Great Openings Music Trivia Challenge. And we're back with episode 8. 5 songs from 5 decades and a chance for you to see how much you remember classic hits from yesteryear. Welcome aboard, everybody. Hey, we have got a big announcement about our live trivia that I'll be bringing you in just a couple of minutes. But first, we need to get down to business because this is the Great Openings Music Trivia Challenge. 5 songs, 5 decades, and this is episode number 8, which means it's a little harder than some of the past episodes. It's what we like to call the expert level of difficulty. At least some of them are a little harder than the others. You might not have too much trouble with a couple of them, but why not? Let's get started. We'll play the opening notes and see if you can identify the song, the artist, and if you're really good, the year. Are you ready? Here's our hit from the 1950s. There you go. We'll play each clue twice. How about something from the 1960s? Yeah, it might be expert level of difficulty, but I told you we'd slip in a couple that might be a little easy for some of you. We got something from the 1970s. Looking for the song, the artist, and again, if you're really good, maybe even the year. Here's from the 80s. And we've got a hit from the 1990s. There you go, 5 songs from 5 decades. We'll give you the answers coming up here in just a minute. We always like to remind you that we are brought to you in part by the Trivia Factory, where we do live trivia tournaments every week at restaurants and nightclubs and bars and pubs all over the Atlanta area. The Great Openings concept has caught on really in a big way, so a couple of things are happening this week. As we record this, coming up next Saturday, we will have music trivia for the first time ever. We're going to do it in 3 locations: the Partners Pizza locations in Noonan, in Tyrone, and in Fayetteville, Georgia. And of course, you can find out all about it at thetriviafactory.com. And if you're in the Atlanta area or are visiting, we always invite you to come on out and join us and have some fun and play trivia. Now, with music trivia, and as a sort of a lead-in to that, look for some good music trivia questions all week long at our regular trivia locations, including, well, variations on our Great Openings Music Trivia Challenge. That might just sneak up and be a bonus question. So it's a lot of fun. TheTriviaFactory.com is the website. And again, thanks for everyone who plays trivia with us, who downloads the podcast. Hope you enjoy it as well. All right, we gave you 5 songs from 5 decades. Are you ready for some answers? Here was your clue from the 1950s. Oh, yeah, if you are an Elvis fan, you picked up on that one right away. From 1957, it was Jailhouse Rock. Everybody in old jailhouse was dancing to the Jailhouse Rock. Spider Murphy played his inner saxophone. Little Joe was blowing on the slide trombone. Number 1 from 1957, released in September of that year, in time to coincide with Elvis Presley's motion picture Jailhouse Rock. The song was number 1 on the U.S. pop charts for 7 weeks. It also reached number 1 on the country and the R&B charts. Elvis joined the Army shortly after the song was released. Some of the characters named in the song are real people. Shifty Henry was a well-known Los Angeles musician. He was not a convict. The Purple Gang was a real mob, not the rhythm section. And Bugsy was probably Bugsy Siegel, the Las Vegas gangster. Sad Sack, by the way, was a World War II U.S. Army nickname for a loser and was a popular comic strip. All right, I told you we might slip in one. Even though it was expert level, you might be able to recognize pretty easily from the 1960s. Here was your clue. From 1969, the hit TV show spawned a hit theme, number one for Hawaii Five-O. Well, Hawaii Five-O, the TV show, ran from 1958 to 1980, and the show's popularity led to the Ventures, who were a 1960s surf-style instrumental group, to cover the song. It was hugely popular. Now, according to the Ventures' own website, usually when they did a song, they recorded the basic track themselves, and then they brought in the horns and the other sections later on for the overdubs. But when they got Hawaii Five-O, the way the arrangements were written, the entire 30-piece orchestra was waiting for them in the studio when they got there, which was a problem for lead guitarist Noki Edwards, who didn't read music. He played by ear. So eventually they had a studio musician play the guitar with the orchestra. Then Noki Edwards got a copy of the tape. He learned the lead and replaced it in the final recording. Hawaii Five-O from 1969. That was our hit from the 1960s. And we have one from the 1970s. It was from 1978, Foreigner, number two hit, Double Vision. So the name for the song is believed to have been from a few of the band members watching the 1978 NHL Stanley Cup playoffs between the New York Rangers and the Buffalo Sabres. And during the game, the Rangers goaltender John Davidson took a hard slap shot to the mask, and he was shaken up by the play, which led the Rangers announcers to say that Davidson probably suffered from double vision after taking that hit. Davidson is now a popular hockey analyst for ABC Sports. The song itself ended up not having anything to do with hockey. Rather, it is about drinking and partying. How about our hit from the 1980s? Number one hit in 1988 by the Beach Boys, Kokomo.
There's a place called Kokomo. That's where you want to go.
Well, Kokomo was written for the movie Cocktail and was written by a pretty well-known group of songwriters that included Beach Boy Mike Love, John Phillips, who was formerly of the Mamas and the Papas, and Scott McKenzie, who you might remember had a hit in 1967 with San Francisco, Be Sure to Wear Some Flowers in Your Hair, and the record's producer, Terry Melcher. Also was involved in writing it. He is the son of actress Doris Day. The single was released in July 1988, but it went nowhere until the movie came out a few months later, and then it became a big hit. Before Kokomo, the last U.S. number one hit for the Beach Boys was Good Vibrations in 1966. That was 22 years earlier, and it was the longest ever span between number one hits until Cher topped the charts with Believe in 1999. Her previous number one hit was Dark Lady in 1974, and that set a new record at 25 years. All right, let's wrap this up with our hit from the 1990s. 1991 hit, Color Me Bad, All for Love. Yeah, the song is All For Love, usually written with the number four. It was a number one single in 1991 for Color Me Bad from their album CMB. It kicked Michael Jackson with his Black or White song out of the number one position and then was in turn kicked off itself by Elton John and George Michael's Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. It was the band's second number one single in the U.S., also their last one. And by the way, don't confuse it with All For Love. Not the original All For Love, but a different All For Love, performed a couple of years later by Bryan Adams, Rod Stewart, and Sting from the movie The Three Musketeers. There you have it. Five songs from five decades. Hope you did well this week. We'll get them a little bit easier next week. We always appreciate you downloading. Always appreciate you listening. And don't forget the Trivia Factory website, which is at thetriviafactory.com. Show notes are at jimdriscoll.net. And you can always give us feedback by going to jimradio@gmail.com. See you next time. We'll do it again on the Great Openings Music Trivia Podcast.